Hello, beloved, and welcome to this Bible study. Once again, still continuing with spiritual warfare of the believer. And as far as I know, this is our ninth part of the series. And what we're going to look at in this Bible study is the breastplate of righteousness. And we'll see, and I think we're also going to do, if possible, the willingness to preach the gospel. Let's start first with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, where we see about the breastplate of righteousness. Before we continue, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father, for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you that we can read about the, spiritual warfare that we are involved in, that we can understand more of it. Father, thank you that we can learn more about the armor that we can put on, and that is in Christ, that we have on, so that we can stand firm in the spiritual battle that we are involved in every day of our lives, because we live for you. We are in Christ, and because of that, we are enemies of the devil, and he, as our enemy, wants to attack us. Father, we know we're not ignorant of his devices, so thank you so much that you've revealed it now in your word, so that we can understand what he is up to, that we can understand his schemes, as we pray in Jesus' name. Please enable us to understand with our minds and to receive with our hearts, we pray. Enable me as your servant to teach your people. I pray this, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 says the following. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now in Roman times, the breastplate of a Roman soldier was basically there to protect some of the vital organs of the soldier. You know, such as the lungs and the heart, that kind of thing. John MacArthur said it so beautifully in his commentary on this verse. And I quote, he says, the breastplate was usually a tough, sleeveless piece of leather or heavy material with animal horns or hoof pieces sewn on. And that was covering the soldier's full torso, protecting the heart and other vital organs. End quote. You see, it's clear that the purpose of the breastplate was basically to protect. It's not something to use to attack with. You can't fight with a breastplate. You use it for protection. Now, why would it be necessary for the believer's heart to be protected? Because I think that's the main organ that the breastplate wants to protect, is our hearts. Now, remember in Jeremiah, we are taught that the heart is deceitful above all else, all other things. The heart is the deceitful above all else, exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? Do we know it's only God who can know the heart of man? You see, our hearts can so easily be overcome by either self-deceit, that's kind of an inner deceit, or we can be deceived from outside. Now, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul joins the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. He joins these two together. You see, when our hearts are overcome with deceit, it is the truth of God and the holiness that's worked in us by the Holy Spirit that is keeping us standing strong. Okay? That's the only thing that's keeping us standing strong against the deceit that comes to the heart. It's said of the Messiah in the book of Isaiah, for example, Isaiah 59, verse 17, it says, for he, that's the Messiah, he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. The Messiah himself had it on. You see, Jesus was, well, as the Messiah, obviously, he was associated with putting on righteousness as a breastplate. And I mean, wow. Well, Jesus Christ, we know he was fully God and fully man at the same time, 100% God, 100% man. And if it was necessary for Christ, the Messiah, to put on righteousness as the breastplate, then how much more is it important for us to have our hearts protected, you know, by the breastplate of righteousness? I believe it's extremely important for us to be protected, our hearts to be protected, because that's where we are knocked most of the time. That's where we are hit most of the time. And then the people in this world come to us, and it's something that's common in churches as well, where they say, follow your heart. No, our hearts are deceitful. We shouldn't follow our hearts. Our hearts should be protected. Our hearts should be shielded off by righteousness, by knowing what the right thing is, and then living what the right thing is before God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Very important for us to understand it. Now in Isaiah, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 8, we read, but let us who are of the day be sober. Listen to this. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. A little bit different, eh? Now the breastplate is not like a breastplate of righteousness, but it's rather putting on the breastplate of faith and love. Beloved, we need the breastplate of righteousness, but we also need the breastplate of faith and love. You see, we as believers, that breastplate that we as believers have on is a breastplate of righteousness, which represents the holiness and the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we receive it by faith because of the love of God for us. These things are all interconnected. And I mean, this is so absolutely amazing, isn't it? John MacArthur says it so beautifully in his commentary. And I quote, he says, because righteousness or holiness is such a distinctive characteristic of God himself, it is not hard to understand why that is the Christian's chief protection against Satan and his schemes. As believers truthfully live in obedience to and communion with Christ Jesus, his own righteousness produces in him the practical daily righteousness that becomes their spiritual breastplate. But he continues to say, lack of holiness, on the other hand, leaves them vulnerable to the great enemy of their souls. End quote. Oh, it's so beautifully said. Now, beloved, even though a believer should live a holy life, the righteousness that Paul is speaking about here, you know, as the armor of God, refers to the righteousness of Christ that is imputed to the believer. It's not a righteousness that we have in ourselves. This righteousness, the believer basically receives as a gift from the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who enables the believer to be protected against the blows of the enemy. You know, and let me tell you, the enemy tries to blow hard blows against us. He wants to hit us hard. And he wants to hit us on the heart, because if he can hit our heart with deception and deceit and all these kind of things, and even self-deceit, if he can hit us hard, we can't stand. That's where we fold. You see, Christ's righteousness is like a shield over the believer's heart as he or she is engaged in the spiritual battle against fallen angels. Another commentary that says something about righteousness so beautifully is Albert Barnes' commentary. He describes the armor, or the righteousness in the armor, as being, he calls it, integrity, holiness, purity of life, sincerity of piety, worked in and through the believer by the Holy Spirit. Amazing, isn't it? This righteousness is that which the Holy Spirit works in us, and that protects our hearts. The integrity that the Holy Spirit works in us, the holiness he works in us, the purity of our lives that he works in us, the sincerity of our piety that works in us. This is all worked in us by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and that protects us from the attacks of the enemy. But this righteousness can also refer to the righteousness of character that a believer possesses due to the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who works Christ-like character in the believer. So this righteousness can also refer to Christ-likeness, né? A Christ-like character that we kind of receive from the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit works it in us. And our Christ-like character also protects us from the attacks of the enemy, from deceit and self-deceit. So, Christ-like character, beloved, is a powerful thing when faced with a spiritual attack. Someone who acts with Christ-like character basically exhibits all the traits of Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you act like Christ, if you respond like Christ, those things, those actions are literally strong enough to give us victory. That's the amazing thing about the righteousness of God. That's something that's worked in us, by the way, by the Holy Spirit. It's not something we can work in ourselves. Okay, so when we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, we are talking about something that we have received. It's something the Holy Spirit works in us. But it's something that we receive because of what Christ has done for us. Just like the belt of truth, now that we have around our waist, that belt of truth has got everything to do with Christ, but it's also got to do with truth, but it's got everything to do with Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, the life. Likewise, when we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, we talk about the righteousness which is in Christ. Okay? It's a righteousness that the Holy Spirit works in us, obviously, but it's 100% connected to Christ. You see, this is what this armor is all about. The armor is all about Christ. But then, when we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, the passage continued to say, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Another part of the armor. John MacArthur says in his commentary on this verse, and I quote, he says, "Roman soldiers wore boots with nails in them, you know, to grip the ground in combat." And then he says, "The gospel of peace pertains to the good news that through Jesus Christ, believers are at peace with God, and He is on their side. It is that confidence of divine support which allows the believer to stand firm, knowing that he is at peace with God, and God is his strength." And whenever he preaches this gospel of peace, that we have peace with God and it's possible, the believer is reminded immediately, the moment the believer steps out and shares that gospel, and says, we can be at peace with God. What happens to in the believer or to the believer? The believer also hears it. And they themselves are now made strong because they are reminded of the fact they too have peace with God. And because they have peace with God, they know that they are reconciled with God. And because they're reconciled with God, they have fellowship with God. And God becomes their strength and the one that enables them to stand firm. Absolutely amazing. See, beloved, the believer needs to be ready at any time, in season and out of season, to share the good news of the gospel with anyone. That's something that we need to be, ready with at all times. And readiness means exactly that. It means being ready. Nah. Not being busy doing it all the time, because we can't always be busy sharing the gospel. But there are times that we're going to be ready to share the gospel. Or we can be ready all the time. But there are times that we're going to be busy sharing the gospel. But there are times, that's all the time, that we need to be ready to share the gospel. Okay, we need to be ready at all times, so that, let's say, for example, I'm in a situation where I'm sitting around the table with a few people, and we're just talking about things, and the next moment an opportunity comes up for me to share the gospel. Then I need to be ready to share the gospel immediately. That's basically what it means. To be shot with the feet, with the preparation of the gospel of peace, to be ready to proclaim the gospel. I'm prepared to share the gospel at all times. And by the way, if I know the gospel, then I know why I'm saved. Then I know what is everything that I need to be reconciled to God. And I know I have been reconciled because I believe the gospel. I trust in God. I trust that God will save me because I believe in the gospel, because He promised me that if I believe in the gospel, I will be saved. What is the gospel? This gospel that we must be prepared to preach at all times. The gospel is very simple. Jesus died for our sin according to the scriptures, because we are sinners, lost, and we deserve to be judged. But Jesus Christ, He died on our behalf. He took our sin upon Himself. He took the penalty of our sin. He took upon Himself, and He died on that cursed tree. And then He was buried as a proof that He was dead. Okay? But that's not where it ended. After 3 days and three nights in the grave, Jesus rose from the dead. And He was victorious over sin and over death. And then He ascended into heaven after appearing to many people, and they saw Him alive, to be witnesses of the fact that Jesus Christ is truly alive. And then He ascended into heaven, where He's preparing a place for us, and He'll return to take us with Him, to be with Him forever and ever. That's in a nutshell the gospel. Now, beloved, if I'm ready to share that gospel to anybody at any time, what an encouragement do I have? What a protection do I have? Absolutely amazing. It's like having, shoes on my feet, so that I can not only have grip in this life, you know, like the Roman soldiers had because of the shoes that they put on, or these boots that they put on, but also I have protection against thorns, and I have protection against rocks and things that can hurt my feet. You know, so I'm protected against certain hurts that can come my way, because I have this preparation, I have this readiness to share the gospel of peace at any time. Amazing stuff. You see, we need to be ready at any time to share the gospel. Readiness means being ready. And to be ready means to be ready for whatever the consequences might be if I share the good news. So I'm not only ready for preaching the gospel or sharing the gospel, but I'm also ready for all the consequences that come along with it. If I'm going to be persecuted for sharing the gospel, then so be it. I need to be ready. I need to be prepared. You see, interesting in the text, it says, having shot your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the gospel is called the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. Now, the peace that the gospel brings, if you accept the gospel, if you believe the gospel, that peace comes because I've been reconciled to God. I'm no longer an enemy of God. I don't experience in my heart any longer that this enmity that I have with God is really bringing discomfort and peacelessness in my life. You see, when a believer believes the gospel, they have peace with God. Now, beloved, we as believers should always be ready to share the good news of the gospel. That's something that we need to be ready with every single moment of the day. Now, obviously, there will be times when the government, for example, will try to prevent us from sharing the gospel. It happens in countries where the gospel is not allowed to be preached. Jesus' name is not allowed to be shared. So when those times come, when they try to prevent us, That is a spiritual attack. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be ready to share the gospel at any time, because God will still, in different ways, open up doors for us to share the gospel. You see, we need to be ready. We need to be ready at all times. Okay? So if we are prevented from, in whatever way, to preach the good news of the gospel, we need to be ready, prepared. Okay? Because at the end of the day, it's the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. People have to hear the gospel. And we need to always be ready. Whether we are allowed to share the gospel or whether we are not allowed to share the gospel, that does not matter. We need to be ready. So may the Lord help us to be ready. And be ready 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, 365 days in a year. May the Lord really help us in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name and pray, Father, that you will enable us to be ready to preach the gospel, the good news of the gospel, every moment of the day. And Father, when the opportunity comes, will you enable us, please, to share with boldness, no matter what the consequences might be. Thank you for the breastplate of righteousness. Father, that we are right with you, that we are at peace with you. Oh, Father, that the Holy Spirit has placed your righteousness, the righteousness of Christ in us, and are protecting the most vital organ in our bodies, our hearts, that our hearts will not deceive us, and we will not be deceived from outside in our hearts. Oh, Father, please, I pray, may these two parts of the armor, which both refers to Jesus Christ and attributes of him and what he has done for us, Father, I pray, please, may it be a reality in our lives. Oh, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. I hope that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that his face will shine upon you, that he will give you his peace. God willing, until next time, as we walk in the armor that we have received as the only means to be able to stand firm while we are involved in this spiritual battle. God willing, until next time, beloved, bye-bye.